Good morning, everyone. Lucky to see all of you. So excited for this morning and what we believe God is wanting to do. So if you are visiting here with us for the first time, or you haven't been to church in a while, what we are doing with is we are in the middle of a series called His Story. And it's really like that God is still speaking and God is still telling his story through our stories. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been working through that. And last week, we had a wonderful testimony just of what God is doing in people's lives. And we still have this Sunday and next Sunday, and maybe we'll carry on. We'll see how the Lord leads us. But it's really been encouraging just even to hear within communities, how people are sharing their story, and how God is bringing breakthrough, both in the sharing of the story, but also in those that are hearing the story of other people. And I want to encourage us this morning with exactly that, because I believe God uses the stories and the things that He's doing in our lives, not just for us and our healing and for us and our benefit, but He's actually doing it so that we can bless others and testify about what God is doing. Amen? And so we want to make space for that year. And right now, we're giving a little bit of importance to it. So instead of preaching, we are sharing testimonies. And if you're visiting here with us, and maybe you're used to church where you go to church and you sit down and they worship, and then after the worship they preach, and you're gonna this morning maybe not hear a preach, but I want to say this to you: the Word of God is still being spoken, because the Word of God is active. It's living, not just in the Bible, but He is working His Word into people's lives and through their lives. And this morning, I believe we're going to hear something of God working His Word through people's lives. And that is just as powerful. And so I want to encourage you this morning, don't just think of this as hearing someone's story, but I want to encourage you to, with faith, hear what is being said, because the Spirit of God is saying and He's revealing something of God's nature, of God's heart towards us as His people. Amen. And you will hear this morning that at the heart of all of this, we're hearing God's heart, that is, He's, for the same reason that He sent Jesus, it was to seek and save those whom are lost. Amen. And you'll hear that this morning still coming through in these testimonies of how God has been working. But I quickly just wanted to read us a scripture to kind of set the stage for this morning. And I'm reading out of 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 to 10. Enzo, and you can put that out of the New Living Translation. Okay. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 to 10. Sorry, I didn't give you my scriptures. And as we start, in the New Living Translation, there's kind of like a title to it that says, Encouragement to be Faithful. And Paul is obviously encouraging Timothy and speaking to Timothy about it. And he's encouraging Timothy to be faithful. But in the ESV, it's got this beautiful title. And I felt like I just wanted to read the title for us as we go into.
Morning, everyone. Yeah, I love it when Rian prays for me. Yeah. Take any chance I can get. Sorry, I just want to record this for my brother. Okay, great. And also, there's a timer there. Hello, everyone. My name is Wesley. I do not have a beautiful wife to introduce yet. Great. So, I'd love to share you guys my story. So, as you heard, there was a lot of testimony shared. So I want to quickly just share how I got saved, or how I encountered God for the first time. I was quite young. That's probably why I love kids' church so much. I was about 7 years old, and I remember we were in the hall, and they shared the gospel. I wasn't too interested, and then afterwards we went into small groups, and our leader wasn't there, and the kids were talking about the longest English word and how to spell it, that supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and how to spell it, and I'm like, I have no clue what the first two letters is. I remember they were like talking about it, and I felt stupid, and I felt like it's useless, and it wasn't the first time I felt that way. I felt like I didn't have a place to belong, and I was like, okay, cool, like this is life. But then in that moment, by God's grace, the Holy Spirit came, and I felt His presence, and I felt Him call me towards Himself, And I remember very clearly, accepted Jesus then. I'm like, God, come into my life. I need you, like, be in my life. And I remember in that moment, I chose Jesus. But unfortunately, my family wasn't in church. I didn't have accountability or discipleship or people loving me, people being intentional in my life. And so life went on, and my parents got divorced, and life wasn't easy. There was moments of knowing more of God, but not really knowing God. And I remember in matric, I went to a young adults meeting, and one of the guys had like a weird Tony Stark goatee, and he approached me, and he was very weird. But he told me, he's like, hey, God showed him four guys, the young guys that he's going to disciple, and he showed them exactly how they look and their personality type, and he's like, hey, you're the last guy of the group. We've been waiting for you. We've been praying for you to come. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And really, it was cool. God then proceeded to, in my matric year, they very much discipled me. And I was in his home all the time. My last term of my matric, I actually stayed by his place and stayed up late nights talking about a lot of things, themes in the Bible, about things just counseling me. And I grew a lot. And then I was on fire. I was burning for God. I knew him. We had a relationship. And then matric finished. And then I decided to take a gap year in the Transkei. And then again, there was no church, no family, no discipleship, no accountability. And it's pretty much just me and God, and tried every now and again to go to the forest and spend time with him. But it felt like just life was draining away. Like I'm trying to blow on this little flame to keep it alive, and I needed people around me. I desperately needed people around me. And that went on. Lockdown hit. I was kayaking, doing some farm work. Went to Bloom, moved to Bloom. And it was like 3 months in, and I was so lost. I tried my best to find any joy, any sense of accomplishment in the world. Trying my best. I remember it was nothing. It was void. Working hard, trying to party hard. Went to nothing. And I remember there was a moment where I recognized, like, okay, cool, like, this sucks. Like, I feel like I suck, and I feel like I have nothing to achieve, nothing to gain. And I remember I was praying. I'm like, God, what's this? And then I felt him say to me, like, Wesley, where are you? Like, I've been calling for you, but it's like, there's nothing. It's like, I felt in the moment, like, I knew God was alive, and I was convinced, but I didn't live it out. I didn't have that conviction of running for him. I haven't been to church in years. I haven't spoken to him. I haven't read my Bible. I didn't know where my Bible was. And I remember in that moment, I'm like, cool. I feel like if I'm continuing down this path, I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm not going to know him. And I was like, okay, I don't know what to do. All I know is I'm probably going to find the answer at church. So I contacted one of my friends that I've been to church with, and they helped me get to Unity Life, which was, it's a 412, and now it's a Josh Jane church in Bloemfontein. And I remember walking in with my mask and everything, and everyone was super friendly. I'm like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, cool. And I remember going and getting tea. And I'm like, as I'm getting the tea, one of the guys came up to me, and he's like, hey, bro, you got such a cool mask. I'm like, thanks. And he's like, how's it going? And asking me a bunch of questions. I'm like, whoa. This guy's super intentional. Like, this is cool. Like, this is what I'm used to. This is what I remember when people were intentional. And then I'm like, cool. And he's like, hey, we're going to start now. I'm like, great, great. And I keep him a seat next to me. And then he grabbed the mic and started preaching. I'm like, cool, 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 cool. He leads the church. Great. But I knew. I'm like, he cares about me. I'm not just another person sitting in the chairs. Like, he really cares about me. And then I was on fire again. Very quickly, I'm like, I want everything. I left most of the things, slowly but surely leaving everything of the world, and I'm like, I want God, I want more of God. And then I proceeded to tell them, I'm like, I don't want to work anymore, I want to give everything to God. And then they're like, go do TMT. I'm like, great, I don't know what that is. Then it's Josh Jen's Bible school, it's now called Leap. And I'm like, cool. And I had some money saved up, so I spent, paid for the first bit of the course, and I bought everything I needed, and then I went down to TMT. And I remember writing down when they asked, how are you going to provide financially? I'm like, faith. I'm like, I don't know. I think they thought that was funny. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. And then, so I got to TMT, and I'm starting to love it. It's amazing. A couple of months go by and I realize, like, I haven't been paying. Like, I've just been enjoying myself and I'm thinking, cool, they're going to approach me and they're going to pause my program. I'm like convinced of this. I'm like, okay, God, what do I do? Like, I can't provide this money. What do I do? And I felt him say, like he wants me to fast. I'm like, cool, 3 days. I'm like, I can do that. So I started fasting. I'm like, okay, cool. Surely I need to do something else than fasting. So I asked my brother to make a little WhatsApp poster for me so I can just post on social media. So I do that. I posted it on the third day because he only gave it to me on the third day. And as I posted it, we were working in the garden, like just cleaning and digging holes and stuff. And then I posted it, and 3 minutes later, it was like 3 to 5 minutes later, my friend phones me. We went to school together. Oh, he grew up with a single mom that was a teacher. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll tell you now why I mentioned that. So I answer. I'm like, hey, bro, how's it going? He's like, lekker, bro. Like, how much you need? I'm like, yo, bro. I don't know, like 80K. Like, just give or take. It's a lot of for everything, accommodation, for food, for the year. He's like, oh, bro, don't worry about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not worried about it. He's like, no, bro, don't worry about it. I'm like, I'm not worrying about it. Like, I'm trusting. He's like, no, bro, like, don't worry about it. I'm like, okay, this guy's annoying me now. And I'm like, ah, bro, I don't know what to say to you. And he's like, bro, don't say anything. Just go on your knees and thank God. I'm like, yeah, he's so spiritual. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I love you. Bye. And then I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, oh, surely I have to go on my knees and thank God now. So I went on my knees. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Okay, cool. And I got up. And everyone's like, hey, bro, like, what was that about? And then I'm like, I told them the whole story. Like, oh, that's amazing. I'm like, he doesn't have money. And by the grace of God, like 5 minutes later, I got a notification saying 80,000 rand was paid. And God provided for that whole year. Yeah. Good. Good. Thank you. It's God.
Awesome, man. You know what? There's such a... If you look at Wesley and that story, I think all of us have found ourselves, and sometimes also find ourselves there right now. We're like, "Here, Lord, how?" And it might not be financial, it might be any circumstance. And the thing here is that seeking his face. I mean, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago, about prayer being the part that's been unpacked in your comms. I mean, that's what you were doing, right? Seeking his face in everything where I can't see it. Again, the wood from the trees, it's like it's so dark in front of me that he's still the light. And again, you know, you might be finding yourself in that. And our encouragement to you is that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of that darkness, to know that, again, he's the hope, right? He's the hope. And he's made a way. And just because I or you can't see it right now doesn't mean that the way isn't clear. You get that? It's just that our eyes might be focused on this thing in front of us and not on him. And that's what we're called to do. Put our eyes on him and stuff like that. So the cares of the world become strangely dim. That's the word it says. Yes? Very cool. Louise. Yeah. Louise. There she is.
Okay, guys, this is a stretch for me. I made notes because I forget and I cut out the fat of stories. So I'm telling my story because I just feel like a lot of people struggle with family and with relational issues. So, I just wanted to tell the story about my brother and our relationship. So when I grew up when I was in my childhood, we went to church, we had a great family, it wasn't like there was any problems, and then when we hit the teenage years, it became turbulent. I'm not sure what went wrong. I do know that my mom and dad had a lot of unresolved things between them, and I think they didn't know how to handle our teenage years, so it literally felt like from our childhood into my teenage years, a bomb exploded in our house. So it was mentally and emotionally not a safe space. My parents started, we actually, when we were growing up, my parents used to go to Bry's on weekends, and it was like very innocent at the beginning, but I think because of their unresolved issues, they became full-blown alcoholics. So my dad was alcoholic, my mom was an alcoholic, my brother started drinking in school, so I didn't really see much of him. I think he had a lot of bullying as well, and for me, my way to escape was to party on weekends. So I would take, I would drink, smoke weed, I would take drugs, but so it was escapism. So I started working at 17 so I could be independent and escape my home life. But I mean, even though we were separate people in the same house, we would have to come back and face each other, but we were separate. We were like, we weren't like a cohesive family. And let me just check my notes, hold on. So I think this started when I was like 13, they started fighting, but like 14-ish years afterwards, my mother decided when my niece and nephew was born that she needed to make a change. So she recommitted her life to the Lord. But through that, she had to walk out this thing where she had to win my father over because he was still lost and he still hated her. But miraculously, their relationship survived that. So they didn't get divorced. They were like, even through all this, they knew divorce was not the answer. It was not going to go well. So we started becoming a family again. So my mother, me, and my father, we were still a family. God kind of restored that, but my brother was still lost. He was still hooked on drugs. He was still stealing everyone's stuff. He was very unpredictable. There was really no relationship with him. So, give me a second. So fast forward to 2022. we joined Josh Jen, and we've never met a church like this. We were in a church who had community, but it wasn't so intentional as Josh Jen. So, in that same year that we joined Josh Jen, my mother had a massive stroke. So this wasn't only the only thing that happened. They moved to St. Helena Bay. So in that, they didn't really have a place to stay. So my father had to come down and either stay with me or my brother while my mom was in the stroke facility. But 2 weeks after my mom had the stroke, my brother had an episode and he climbed on his roof and he fell off the roof. So he broke his ribs, he broke his jaw, he broke his arm, and he also bled out of his ear. But that was just like the final straw for me. I was like, I can't deal with this. I've got a mom to deal with, a father that's got no place to stay. Yorick and I wasn't in a good space financially. We weren't doing well. And it put a lot of strain on my and Yorick's relationship because we had to kind of, I didn't know what to do, so I kind of had to bounce it off him all the time and be like, am I doing the right thing? So that was the majority of our conversations. But then, as Josh Jenners do, we opened up our lives to the elders and our comm leaders. It was hard because I'm not someone to go and say, this is my problems, can you please help me with it? But there was a lot of things that they advised us on, but not only that, I think there was problems with us as well that we had to work through, things that I was dealing with in my heart that I didn't know was there. But that came out. There was a structured approach to my brother, so we got some advice on how to handle the situations, what boundaries to put in place. And from that came a lot of fruit. But I just wanted to tell you about this one time. My brother's in the hospital. He's in Somerset Hospital. They've tied him to the bed. They were thinking he was a suicide risk, but he was also detoxing. So I was driving the one day and the Lord's like, Louise, go to Somerset Hospital, go say hi to your brother. I'm like, hell no, I'm not going there. There's no way I'm going to a government hospital and I don't want to see him. And even in that, I made a decision to go. And as I stepped into the room, his eyes popped open and he started laughing. And he said to me, I was just telling the Lord, how weird would it be if my sister came and visit me? And the Lord was working with me and he was working with him. But then Maravis came a bit after that and I was dealing with a lot of unforgiveness in my heart. I didn't want to, I wanted to forgive him, I just didn't have it in me to forgive him. So Maravis came and he preached about the prodigal son, and he was saying how Maravis himself planned for his children, and he was saying how before they were even born, they were thought in his mind, and the Lord said to me, your brother's not a mistake. I didn't make a mistake with him. I've got a plan for his life. And so in that moment, the Lord gave me the ability to forgive him, which I've been struggling with it because I knew I'm Christian, I need to forgive, but it wasn't in me to do it. But the Lord gave me the grace to do that. So I think the point I want to bring across is that the Lord is a Lord of restoration and redemption and reconciliation. I think my idea of dealing with it was I need to actually avoid them and escape my family, where the Lord was saying, you are the Christian and I want to bring reconciliation. So he saved my family and my very lost brother. My brother, who couldn't keep a job, is now having a stable job. He's got his kids with him. He's looking after my father. He started his own business. And we have a relationship which I thought would never have happened, even as close as a relationship as I had with my mother. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Awesome, Louise. So
God gave me a picture of two types of people today. So he showed me a clay jar. The one clay jar is broken. And I feel like God is saying, people here are seeing themselves broken. There's things in your life that you feel is broken. And you feel that you cannot receive the Holy Spirit or even God's love. Because you cannot contain it. Your jar is broken. And I feel like God is saying this morning that you need to come. I'm going to fix the jar. I'm going to fix that. But I need you to come so that I can fill you with my Holy Spirit. And then there's a second people that he speaks to. Again, it's the jar. And I feel God saying that you are saying to yourself, I'm in a good place. I have a good walk with God. I come to church, I have relationships with people, I'm following his word, I'm doing things that he wants me to do, but I feel like God is saying that your lid of your jar is closed. And I feel like God is saying, take the lid, take it off, open your jar, and allow his spirit to come this morning. Because whatever is inside of that jar is not filled with the Spirit. He wants to come. He wants to fill each and every one of you with the Spirit. And in that way, your jars can overflow of what his love is and what he wants to do in your lives and in other people's lives. Yeah.
Thanks, Jen.
kind of weighing this up throughout the week, but now as Jenny shared that word, I kind of found myself last week, well, the last couple of weeks, in the space of the first one where I feel like I'm this broken jar. Sorry, I'll try and keep it very short, but God has been asking something very specific of me to give up and not do, and it's been, I think I went through my journals and I checked, it's probably for 2 years that God has been pressing on this thing that I need to give up, and it's not necessarily sin, but disobedience, I would say, is sin. And I stopped doing this thing, and I felt, okay, cool, I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord. And actually, 2 weeks later, after I stopped doing this thing, I just felt the weight of this and actually how I've been falling short, and how my giving and what I've been doing, I've been missing it in terms of church, in terms of family life, in terms of being a new father. Like, there's so many places where I feel like this thing is actually influenced and I didn't realize it. And yeah, I've been feeling like a failure, to be very honest. My giving just sucks. And last week during worship, I just felt to not sit in self-pity, to actually call, Lord, I'm going to worship you the way that you deserve to be worshipped. And God came, oh man, he encouraged me so much. There was two scriptures that he reminded me of. The first one during worship was Philippians 1 verse 6, I think. And it speaks about, he who started the good work in you will finish it. And as an encouragement towards me, it's like, oh man, okay, I've fallen short, but actually leaning on God, he will continue the good work, and he will finish the good work. And then the second one that God was kind of reminding me of during that time was my wedding ring. And I was like, okay, cool, it's weird, I've not thought about my wedding ring in a while. And felt like God take me to the story where he made a covenant with Abram, and where in Hebrews 6, I think it's 13 to 18, it speaks about how God actually made the covenant with himself to fulfill the promises towards Abram, because he will not fail. We as humans, we will fail. We will fall short. And yeah, I wanted to encourage us just on what Jenny said. Like, there's stuff where we will fall short. There's places where we might have, even like me, for about 2 years, not been obedient to God. But today is a new day. And we know that we can't do these things in ourselves, but to allow God to come and restore.
Thanks, Jacob.
Once she sends me words now and then, in light of this call, it's Friday morning, 7:30. Morning, Uncle Martin. I saw a picture of people being filled with the Holy Spirit, and these people started laughing with such joy as they were being filled. The scripture was John 7:38. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. With this scripture, I will keep praying for you guys and the meeting this Sunday. This is what God wants to do. He wants to come, fill us with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to ask again. Maybe you are not in a bad place. Maybe you are not in a good place. It doesn't matter what place you find yourself in, but you want to be filled